in season 9, episode 16, going to play off something that was discussed on Matthew Berry's Fantasy Football Happy Hour, which is broadcast on Peacock for video purposes, and then there's an audio podcast that I enjoy when I cannot watch the Peacock video from just the other day. We are recording this on Thursday, August 15th. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters, introducing the new summer sauce at Hooters for your wings. It's mango habanero, a sweet fruity punch with a spicy smooth kick. And you can get that in addition to on your traditional wings. You can get that on new hand-breaded chicken tenders in that sauce or any of your favorite sauces with a side of fries for only $9.99. OriginalHooters.com is where you find information on any of the 11 greater Tampa Bay area locations, as well as easy online ordering, OriginalHooters.com. My thanks to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Email for your fantasy questions, and please submit any fantasy draft data or any transactions that happen so we can talk about them here on the podcast. We can do it with your name, without your name. Also, when you email me, tell me where you're from. I love your emails. I'd like to know where you're from. Give me some idea of where you're listening. Some of the data we received a few years back said we were being heard in almost 20 different countries. And I would imagine many of that was, some of that, not all, military personnel. And I'll take this moment to say what I always say based on that data. If you are serving our country here or abroad, and you're listening to me talk fantasy football to give you an escape from what you're doing, which is exponentially more important, I'm very flattered. And I thank you for what you do, and I'll continue to do this as long as I can give you a little distraction. So there we go. Wright.Todd@Yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@Yahoo.com. Let's see if I can get right to it. So the Matthew Berry Fantasy Football Happy Hour is a show I regularly watch on Peacock. Yes, Matthew Berry's from ESPN, and I'm from ESPN. We never worked together. We never actually met. We never even spoke. I also subscribe to a Fantasy Life newsletter that Matthew Berry is involved with. Funny how that works. When he left ESPN, suddenly he could do many more things, much like when I left ESPN. Within the next, once my contract was up with ESPN, they paid me not to work for a while. And once it was up, I had 4 different jobs I was working at one time. And it was fun. I was able to do television. I was able to do satellite radio. I was able to do an evening network radio show on the network with Tim Brando and James Brown and Tony Bruno, Sporting News Radio. Was able to do a lot of different things. And Matthew Berry is doing a lot of different things these days. So it was on that show, their first back in their studio, which they didn't have for the last few weeks because NBC was using it for the Olympics. So they were back in their traditional studio, and they were talking about Matthew Berry's top 24 best available players. And he continues to update his top 200 as well as by position via NBCSports.com. I respect Matthew Berry. If you are a fantasy football player, I would imagine you know who Matthew Berry is. Yes, Matthew, we know you were in the Avengers. We're envious of that. And it's funny, every time you bring it up and every time we see it on screen or when it runs on TNT, just about every weekend. So I play off some of the things Matthew brings up because if he's not the face of fantasy football, he's in the conversation. So they got into a conversation off his top 24 about the best place to pick. Now, this is where I introduce, in my leagues, here's how we do it. I take a handful of playing cards and I go around the room and everybody blindly draws a playing card. Let's say it's a 10-team league. If you draw the ace, you will pick first of where you want to draft. That does not assign you your draft position. You get to pick your draft position, but we wanted to create sort of a system to determine who gets to pick first. And this ultimately led to last year, how everyone in front of me in the foundation passed on picking number one overall. Left it to me, I took McCaffrey, and you know the rest. So Matthew Berry was talking about where's the best spot. In previous podcasts, you know I've talked about, I'm fine picking number one overall. I did it last year. If my league wants to hand me the number one overall pick again this year, I'll take it. And I have no problems waiting on the wraparound to pick in with the last pick of round two and the first pick of round three. I won that way last year. I feel confident I can compete again this year. Matthew Berry made a case. Oh, actually, let me say one more thing. Jared Atkinson, general manager of West Chase Golf Club, a former McGinty trophy holder, likes to pick in what I call the transfer spot. Also, it's less work. Much like the first pick is less work. It's just a touch more. It's really not much more work than the end of the round because you're only on the clock half of the time of everybody else. So we've talked about that. So you have that spot end of round one where you get two players. So in a 10-team league, you get two of the first 11. Granted, you don't pick again for a while. You're not picking again to the end of round three, start of round four. Pros and cons with everything. Point being, Matthew Berry made a case that four would be his either preferred or a very good spot. And let's explore why he said that. He's of the opinion, and said this on the same show, that any of his top five overall, he said, if you come away from the first round with any of these five, I have no questions for you. This is Matthew Berry talking. It was McCaffrey and his top four receivers. He did not have any other running backs in that group. Breece Hall was a little lower, Bijan Robinson a little lower, and on. So he said, if you come away with any of the top five, no matter where you get them, in the first round, you've done well. So then his point is, and he was basing this on a 12-team league. On the wraparound, he's picking what? 21st in a 12-team league. So he would pick fourth and then 21st. And he said he would feel good about who was still available at 21 that he could get in the second round. Okay, so I'm going to play along with what Matthew Berry said just because he talked about the fourth slot. So now I'm going to take it away from Matthew Berry and I'm going to use other mock draft data from fantasyfootballcalculator.com. As of the time of this broadcast, we're up to over 700 fantasy football mock drafts conducted in the previous 48 hours to this broadcast. That mock draft data shows that Christian McCaffrey is the overall number one. Tyreek Hill is the overall number two. Bijan Robinson is the overall number three. So now I'm picking fourth, playing off how good is this spot? Testing Matthew Berry of Peacock NBC Sports Fantasy Life's Theory. But I'm using different draft data. Okay? So McCaffrey's gone, Tyreek Hill's gone, and Bijan Robinson's gone based on this mock draft data. So my choices are CeeDee Lamb, and I'm going in order of the ADP based on these mock drafts, not Matthew Berry's top 24. CeeDee Lamb, Breece Hall, Ja'Marr Chase, Jonathan Taylor, Amon-Ra, Justin Jefferson, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Kyren Williams. That's the rest of a 12-team first round according to this mock draft data. I'm not taking Lamb because I don't like the holdout. I don't like the whole atmosphere around the Cowboys, kind of run it back, win or else. We're not building anything here. You guys have screwed up in the playoffs for 3 years. This is exactly what Jerry and Stephen Jones meant by all in. We're all in on you guys. Either win or else. That's what it is. There are no other chips to play. Some would say, well, yeah, there are chips. No, the chips are all in, and they were all in last year. So I don't know what's going to happen with CeeDee Lamb. And I don't know what's going to happen with Dak Prescott either. And that's the guy who's got to get him the ball. This feels like a potentially disastrous season for the Cowboys, where the Cowboys are already poised to hit the reset button after this season is done. The bar is set so high that it just feels like they cannot reach it. So I'm not touching Lamb. I don't want Breece Hall. I've talked about him in a previous podcast on a this or that. I owned him last year. I was disappointed in him last year, although I got him at a value off the injury from the previous year. He didn't get many goal to go attempts. He's a member of the New York Jets. That's not good. It's a head coach who has a defensive background. I think he's a very talented guy on a bad team. And I know you say, well, look at the talent. They're still the Jets. They're still a historically bad organization. Jets fans feel about their team the way I, a Cowboy fan, feel about my team. That if something can go wrong, it will go wrong. Then Jamar Chase, who had a hold in, and now the theory on his hold in without the new contract was because he was simply at camp, even though he was doing nothing, he got his roster bonus. He got his camp bonus because he didn't hold out, even though he didn't do anything at the time of this broadcast. Jonathan Taylor, I'm not taking him at 4 overall. I would consider, it feels like a taking Amon-Ra at 4 is too high, but if I know he's going to be so good as he was for me last year, why wouldn't I take him? But it just feels like I don't need to do that there. Then Justin Jefferson, and we now know Sam Darnold is Justin Jefferson's quarterback based on the news on J.J. McCarthy. So if I'm picking 4th, I guess I am taking Amon-Ra St. Brown. And many of you would be like, well, that's too high for Amon-Ra. I think he's going to be fine. I don't like the value there based on picking 4, but I'm doing it based on how Matthew Berry says you're going to come away with. But here's the problem. Matthew Berry thinks if you come away from the first round with CeeDee Lamb, you're fine. I don't know that you are. Matthew Berry thinks if you come away from the first round with Jamar Chase, you're fine. I don't know if you are. I take these hold-ins, hold-outs much more serious than he does right now. Something could change and change my mind. We're not to draft day yet. And his 5th guy was Justin Jefferson. And right now, I might take Amon-Ra instead of Justin Jefferson. I might. Amon-Ra has maintained good health. More recently, he's on a better football team. He's not the only guy defenses have to worry about, which on the Vikings, he might be until further notice. Amon-Ra has a rapport with a productive quarterback. Jefferson doesn't have that. there's a lot going for Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I don't love it, but I'd probably take Amon-Ra at 4 if McCaffrey, Tyreek, and Bijan are off the board. Honestly, I wouldn't have taken Bijan at 4. So the only reason I'm going Amon-Ra at 4 based on this model is because McCaffrey and Hill are gone. That's it. So I'd take Amon-Ra at 3. I'm getting him at 4. I'd rather get him later. And if Matthew Berry's right about the top 5 guys and Amon-Ra is more of a number 6, yeah, I would feel better about taking Amon-Ra at 6 or 7 or later. I would. But here I had to take him at 4. Okay, so on the wraparound, who's left for me at 21? Here are the guys who go off the board in the fantasy football calculator mock draft data. Because you have to assume if I take Amon-Ra at 4, then Lamb goes 5, Breece Hall 6, Ja'Marr Chase 7, Jonathan Taylor 8. Then we're right in line. Justin Jefferson 9, Barkley 10, Derrick Henry 11, Kyron Williams 12. Second round, Jahmyr Gibbs 13. He's starting to slip based on the concern about the hamstring. I'm somewhat concerned, but I'll tell you right now, based on this draft model, if I'm picking 4 and I got Amon-Ra at 4, geez, do I take 2 Lions at the top of the board? Would I take Jahmyr Gibbs at 21? Maybe. A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Puka Nacua, these are guys all off the board in this mock draft data. Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Isaiah Pacheco. Damn. Can I get Debo, please, at 21? Can I have him there? Because technically this draft data says he wouldn't be there. Let's just assume he would slip one spot. I'd love to get Debo at 21. Because I don't want Drake London, which is what the fantasy draft data says. I get Drake London's a good football player, and there should be a bump for Drake London based on the changes the Falcons made. I want to see it to believe it. I don't want to automatically invest in it, not in the second round. So I'm not taking London. Cooper Kupp's there. That's tempting. I think the Rams have a real shot this year. Are the Rams a Super Bowl contender again? Are they going to deal with some injuries that cause them to miss the playoffs? It seems like it's one way or the other. Devon Achan in Miami, I don't want to take him in the second round. I don't want him as my RB1. He hasn't played enough. There aren't enough snaps in the NFL for me to go with that. Nico Collins, I think there is a bit of a Stephon Diggs factor there with Diggs is going to get some touches. So I think that will impact. Collins is a good football player, but to move him up into the second round seems like it's moving him up too much for this year. Or do I just take Josh Allen with the 21st pick? Do I do that? You know what? I might. The draft data says, I'm saying I'd love Debo to slip. But you know what? Josh Allen is going to play every game. He has the most fantasy points over the last 4 years. So sure. And I know we come back to this, and you may be in leagues that aren't quarterback hungry, but we just come back to quarterbacks. Certain quarterbacks are going to generate a lot of points for you. And I want to have one of them. And even though I won a title last year by not having Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, but I figured it out later and I had Stafford or Love to choose from when they were hot late in the year. If I can get Josh Allen at 21 overall, I'd probably take him there. I guess there's a chance he'd wrap around to me again at 28, but the fantasy draft data said he wouldn't. So I take Josh Allen at 21. And then at 28, if Mike Evans slipped one spot to me, he goes in the draft data at 27, I'd be all over that. So that would be my third round pick, would be Evans. And you're saying, well, Todd, you don't have a running back yet. No, no, but I've done that before in 2021 in the podcast league, and I won the league. And I didn't take a running back in any of the first three rounds. Sometimes that's just the way things fall to you. Let's see who I could get as a running back in the fourth round based on this model, where I've taken Amon-Ra at 4, Josh Allen at 21, and Mike Evans at 28. So my next pick is what? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I can get Aaron Jones, James Conner, Nick Chubb, or DeAndre Swift, and then the fifth best running back in ADP is Zamir White. It's tough, right? I'd probably go Connor, who's a very underrated sort of touchdown machine. It's not ideal for me. But considering, I mean, there's a drop-off. There's a real drop-off. I don't know that the value is there for running back at 21. I would have much rather had Jacobs, Etienne, Pacheco, Gibbs, Kyron Williams, Derrick Henry. Yeah, I respect where Matthew Berry's coming from, but I don't agree with him that any of the top five, if you come away from them, are as good as, say, McCaffrey or Tyreek Hill. And I don't like the value I get on the wraparound where, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take Josh Allen there, but I'd rather not if I don't have to. Interesting. So I don't agree that the 4 is a good spot. If I'm not drafting number 1 or number 2, I think I want to go more middle to late part of the round, because I think the value on the second pick, I need the value on the second pick. I don't agree that the entire second round is kind of all the same. So just one person's opinion. What do you think? What's your best draft position in a 10 or a 12 or even a 14 team league? 14, my goodness. Not sure you want to be waiting around all the way to 28 and 29. And then the wraparound back to you for your fourth and fifth round pick. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Also, quick note on the way out. Let me take a look at ADP on Mark Andrews. And I know I don't spend a lot of time on tight ends here because I'm in a non-mandatory tight end league. But a handful of tight ends always have value, some for the season, some in a plug-and-play situation. And we saw last year in Baltimore when Mark Andrews went out, Isaiah Likely has value, standalone value, as a tight end in a non-mandatory tight end league. Currently, Mark Andrews, according to the mock draft data, is going off the board as the third tight end selected somewhere in a 12-team league, middle to end of fifth round, before Kittle, before Kincaid. I don't know yet what having Likely on the field at the same time as Edwards, Andrews, how much that's going to happen. What does Derrick Henry's presence mean to the use of the tight end? I'd just be a little cautious. I'm going to go into my drafts, obviously, other than Travis Kelce, I'm not really thinking about tight ends. They're not a priority to me because it's not a mandatory tight end league. But once we start getting into, okay, I need pass catchers, I just need options, I don't think I want to go early with an Andrews pick. I might go later with an Isaiah Likely pick. I think Likely will be undervalued and might may have more of an impact on Mark Andrews than you think. I'll just leave you with that. We'll probably get into it in another podcast when we know more about what's going on there with the system. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters.